collectively, in this society, is typically government. So by common laws, regulations about how to build cars, inspections of restaurants and water systems, typically we achieve that not through community gatherings, but by through our government. But here's the key, and no one told me this when I was being trained in public health, so I'm giving you our dirty little secret. The primary discipline of public health is, there is no primary discipline. The primary discipline is whatever works. Usually several things we try at once. So for example, we have great advanced trauma centers for when people have hideous head trauma from a car crash. That's great. But we also have cars that try to prevent hideous trauma. And we have rules, and people like Mothers Against Drunk Driving that try to prevent people from behaving in ways that cause a crash in the first place. So we have a lot of different ways we try to intervene once we say there's too much carnage from car crashes, or from lung cancer, or from whatever it might be. So with public health, we say, what are people dying from? What's making them sick? What's making them injured? What's making them disabled? And then we say, now, what do we know about that? How could that be prevented? That's a really key question. That's the question I want you to think about when it comes to prevention informatics. If you think about health, how can we prevent that disease, that injury, that disability? And don't have behind the question, how can doctors prevent it? How can the medical care system? But how can it be prevented? When it comes to prevention informatics, and I'll start talking in just a minute, change your question. The narrower question is there any way, given a particular problem, pick whichever you care about, could be Alzheimer's, could be trauma, could be multiple sclerosis, whatever it might be, given what we know about it, is there any application of communications and information technology that might prevent that? That's the key question of prevention informatics. Are there communications or information technologies that might be applied to prevent that? And the best example I can give, and I've mentioned several times here to get your blinders off, is anti-lock brake systems. They don't involve someone at a computer. They don't involve an iPad app. And they've saved countless lives. It's information technology applied in the right place to prevent crashes that hurt people. So once we start thinking in those terms, it really opens it up. We're not talking about medical care anymore or hospitals. And maybe we're talking about computing devices. I'm not saying there aren't some cool ideas. But it's anywhere in the causal chain that I want you to be thinking about. So let me stop there and I'll take maybe
a moment. Well, I was just going to ask you, you mentioned earlier deaths as an index of what we were looking at. And I was wondering the extent to which you look at various health status and health conditions, and the improvement in those in addition to the elimination of deaths.
Absolutely, yeah, you're right. And I think we often use deaths because people appreciate the gravity of that thing. It's easy to count. But anything you could do to improve quality of life, length of life after diagnosis, anything like that would be huge as well. Preventing sickness, even if it's self-limited,
so the question taken sort of collectively, where do you feel that sort of public education comes in, right? Because we can legislate safer engineered cars, but there's also the public education seatbelts.
Yeah.
Right, and same with helmets or same with smoking or sexual activity or whatever it's going to be.
Right, absolutely important. And remember I said one thing is we want to, in public health, we should never be in a let's not do that, let's do this mentality, because often both at once is the way to go. Because no intervention, even except maybe with certain vaccines, there are very few interventions that cover the waterfront. Many of them are 40% effective, 60% effective. And even if with vaccines, frankly, if you do a vaccine campaign, lots of people don't get the vaccine, so you can't really say it's 100% effective, even if it is biological. So I think getting people to behave differently, getting them to understand how to promote their own health, these are huge. Getting them to not start smoking, these are educational interventions. A lot of what causes us to be ill are the behavior patterns we adopt, often before age 20. Again, any kind of information technology, communications technology, marketing, anything you could do to help in that regard is great. One caveat to that, and then I'll take the next question, is it has been found that engineering changes are for dollar for dollar more effective than trying to get people to change behavior.
That's what I was wondering. It's just how effective versus
other. Yeah, no question. It's hard.
So before we take any more questions, let me talk about the next piece, which is the informatics piece, and then we will have a little time to have more questions from Patrick and me, because I think there is a healthcare, and I use the term advisedly, component of this, a hospital-based view of this, and other
ways that we can think about prevention and information communications technologies interventions. I really appreciate Patrick being willing to do this context because he's my mentor and he's one of the prime reasons I even work in public health at this point because as some of, well, a couple of people in the room know, I actually worked on the clinical information system side for quite a few years and I got tired, as I say in shorthand, of one patient at a time and thought that there had to be a way to build systems that would intervene at a more broad level and not just a clinical decision support system to take care of patients one patient at a time. Not that that's not important, but a more holistic way. So just a couple of more statistics. Healthcare costs versus results. We don't compare well with our countries around the world, including some very poor countries around the world. This isn't just that we don't compare well with some wealthier countries who are becoming less wealthy as we speak. But, you know, even Turkey, so this is about wealth and healthcare spending as a percentage of gross domestic product, and we spent the most by far of any country. However, we don't do so well on some key statistics, including life expectancy at birth. In spite of the numbers that Patrick is talking about, we're below quite a few countries, and these obviously represent a number of countries. And one of the reasons, I guess this is a hypothesis, but I think there's data to back this up, is that we really lack the basic preventive care system that many countries that have better numbers than we do focus on. And so number of primary care visits yearly, US 3.8 versus Japan, which remember had a much higher, better number on the life expectancy slide a minute ago. They have many more primary care visits per year, prevention consultations. So when I was asked to do a lecture about a year ago, I was contacted and became the first annual American Society for Information Science and Technology lecturer. I was allowed to pick any topic I wanted. And the topic of intervention informatics, which as far as I know is not a real concept in informatics, but you can imagine what I mean by intervention informatics, and moving towards prevention informatics was what I structured my talk around, which I did last spring, and this is based in part on that talk and in a subsequent article. So intervention informatics is very focused on the individual, the patient with a problem, an injury, a abnormal condition, a disease. And the tracking on the intervention side has to do with actions, procedures, diagnoses, therapies, episodes of care. And it's pretty reactive after the problem happens, after you're in the car accident, after you develop after you develop TB, after you develop a particular problem. And it really, intervention informatics really loses a focus of the community context. The fact that I live in a rural area of Puget Sound, I have a well, we have a septic system, which could indeed have an effect on my health, is not known to my physician, who happens to be here at UW and is a very good physician, but those issues are never tracked in most electronic health record systems. This context, agricultural, am I exposed to pesticides? Kinds of questions. It also lacks context related to my family members. They call it family medicine, but it's really individual medicine. And relationships that I might have that would have an effect on my health and welfare. And again, it's the individual who has travel. I do a lot of international work in developing countries. I have some unusual hobbies that put me at risk. These are not trapped in the typical electronic health record or known to my physician unless I tell her. Prevention informatics takes a much more holistic view, and in the way I think about it, the individual in the context of family, community, country, the world. And it looks at both the health and well-being of individuals and populations, and it looks at the kinds of safe environments that Patrick talked about, hospital, preventing medical errors, home, water, sanitation, and other kinds of issues, work-related issues, roads and travel conveyance. It looks at the individual in a much broader context, but again, from a prevention point of view. Prevention informatics is highly proactive, preventing the problem before it happens, and if it's going to be done well, it's very data intensive and very data driven. So does this exist now? No. The reason that I'm talking about it is to rethink how we might re-engineer a variety of information communications systems in health to make prevention happen at the front end and not as an afterthought. Okay, so one piece of this, which is an area that I've been interested in and worked on for a long time, it has to do with classification systems. And so these are some interesting examples of classifications. 17th century mortality table, whose causes of death include, quote, fainted in the bath, frighted, and itch. These are causes of death from the 17th century.
We've eradicated those things.
Yeah, we have. We have. Now we all take showers, right? So we don't faint in the bath. Assignment of subject headings to books in a library, of course. Separation of machine washable clothes. They're all examples of classifications. And given that people have been worrying about this for a long time, classification systems, William Farr, who is actually one of the names in the World Health Organization and the International Classification of Diseases, says, and this is 1837, the advantages of a uniform statistical nomenclature, however imperfect, are so obvious that it is surprising no attention has been paid to its enforcement in bills of mortality. Each disease has in many instances been denoted by three or four terms, and each term has been applied to as many diseases. Vague and convenient names have been employed, or complications have been registered instead of primary diseases. Nomenclature is as of much importance in this department of inquiry as weights and measures in the physical sciences and should be settled without delay. 1837, what, 175 years ago? Okay, so this is from an article, 98, which is a while ago, but 1998, Jim Cimino, a colleague of ours, says, unfortunately, things have not improved in terms of the international classification of diseases or classification in general. Lack of concept permanence, disregard for context, and so forth. The terminology problem is still an enormous problem in health and healthcare. So these are some ideas about what are some of the building blocks to improve a clinical public health exchange of information and data that would rearray the problem as being focused on prevention versus the focus on intervention. I think, and based on a fair amount of review of the literature, that there is a lot of need for a prevention classification system across the public health categories that Patrick was talking about. Even within some of the prevention fields, injuries prevention, for example, they're arguing with each other about problems in terminology. And if you expand that more broadly to prevention in general, there's evidence that there's a lot of opportunities on this front. What I referred to earlier, the public health clinical data piece, we still, and I'm really glad to see Dr. Payne here today, we in public health still have a huge challenge being able to use clinical data on individual patients to drive prevention on a community and public health front. There are huge costs involved in extracting de-identified clinical information to use to drive prevention. And some of you are aware, I think, of some of this, but it's a real challenge because it is seen so much as an intervention system, the EMR, versus driving a prevention system that supports prevention at the community, not just the individual level, but at the community level. So what would be wrong with a prevention tab in the EMR that would drive certain rules and alerts about patients? For example, this one is very close to home for me because it happened to my mother-in-law. She was going in for cancer treatment and had chemotherapy, successfully treated for cancer, but got shingles. And I mean, life-threatening level of problems, shingles problems. And it's continuing to affect her quality of life 2 years later. Cancer gone, shingles, disability, huge problems. Could have simply been prevented if an alert had gone out, and these were Stanford physicians making this decision, by the way. If the alert had gone out, chemotherapy, radiation therapy, patient over 65, administer shingles vaccine before doing the chemotherapy. It's a very small example, but believe me, this happens a lot. And so, again, rethinking how the intervention system could be driven with a more holistic view of prevention. One of the areas that the health informatics or public health informatics group at UW faculty have worked on is what are some minimum data sets for public health, and more specifically, what is a minimum data set for prevention that might be extracted from a clinical record system that would support key prevention interventions both at the individual and the community level. And then turning it around, what are some community health information, what is some community health information that could support decision making about individual patients as a component of the patient record? So tying the loop in the other direction. And we'll do questions in just 1 minute. I just want to give a couple of other broader examples.